Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And you can read my work on ESPN.com. I have a story up now, or actually posted Friday, about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels and why they really, really liked him. So give that a read. And also, for you gold members, I'm going to be doing a private Zoom session on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern time. So join me there. Bring your questions. The rest of the members can get that after we're done. But good chance to just have a little chat about the Commanders for about 40 minutes or so. Anyway, and if you want to become a club member, go to the Empire Media YouTube page. Click on the word join. You have to do it on your laptop. And whatever membership you're comfortable with, go from there. Anyway, it's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. In a minute, I'm going to be joined by Jeff Diamond, a former NFL executive, used to be with the Minnesota Vikings and Tennessee Titans, and was an executive of the year one time, retired from the NFL a while ago, but he has stayed in touch with the game. Just continues to watch it and watches it through the eyes of a guy who's a former general manager. And still, he writes for the 33rd team, a site that I always enjoy going to because you have a lot of people who were involved in the game who share their expertise. And I wanted to bring him on to talk about the Commanders, not just the draft, but the offseason. He did give the draft an A grade. Now, it's a little bit early for grades, but there's always that desire to see what do you think initially about what a team did, and that's what he thought. Really, really liked it. And also what he thinks of the Commanders' offseason in general and their approach to roster building. I think you'll enjoy it. I think he really likes Jaden Daniels, and I think, to be honest, I think he likes him more than Caleb Williams. And I think you'll hear why. And there was some criticism of Caleb Williams from him. So anyway, there you go. I have nothing else to add, folks. This is a week for, you know, we're going to be at the Commanders rookie minicamp week later in the week. So it's our first chance to see Jaden Daniels in person in a Commanders uniform up close. So that will be later in the week. So we'll have some stuff on that. But right now, here's my conversation with former NFL executive Jeff Diamond.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground? Give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com /kind. But Jeff, you've obviously, you worked in this league as a general manager. You've evaluated what's going on in this league for a long time. And I'm curious, let's start with just the Commanders in general from the off season, from free agency and also the draft. What have you seen this organization do? And I go back to like in January, because for the 33rd team, you wrote like they're one of five teams that need to repair things. What have you seen in this offseason from them?
Well, I think, first of all, bringing in a player like Bobby Wagner and some of the other free agents they brought in, and also the change in leadership with Dan Quinn coming aboard and Adam Peters, I think that things are definitely on the upswing for the Commanders in Washington. And so, and then you kind of parlay that with a really good draft, which I thought they had one of the best drafts in the league. And of course, starting with Jaden Daniels as the new franchise QB. And so I think things are definitely looking up in Washington. And I think that they're making really good headway and being smart along the way, making good free agents decisions, making good draft decisions. And obviously, there were teams that were interested in trading up for Jaden Daniels. And I think the Commanders were very smart to hold their water and stick it number two and take a quarterback who I think could well end up being a better player than Caleb Williams, because I like his attitude. I like his approach a lot more than Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is a very entitled player, and someone's got to rein that in Chicago. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think for the Commanders, they may well have gotten the guy they preferred at quarterback. Now, Jaden Daniels has some work to do. He's got to learn a system. He's got to, I think, bulk up a little bit to be able to absorb the hits he's going to take in the NFL. But I'm sure the Commanders are already starting with that whole learning process and get him training and get him stronger, and so it doesn't turn into another RG3 situation.
So let's stick on the quarterback, because I was going to ask you, and I'll get back to like their plan and the approach for the offseason. But with Jaden, like, what are some of the things that you saw on him, even on film, that just jumped? I mean, some of the stuff is obvious, right? But what are some of the little things that you saw that separated him from others?
Well, I think just his dual threat ability, and that it's kind of unfair to make comparisons to current NFL quarterbacks. I know everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. Lamar might be a little thicker kind of athlete, shall we say, and Jaden maybe a little more slight at this point. But if he gets beefed up and bulks up a little bit, I think that he'll be in a better position, as I said before, to absorb the hits he's going to take. And obviously, you got to be careful in the NFL, so many quarterbacks have had to learn that lesson the hard way in terms of protecting themselves when they run and being smart with their decision-making, and as Patrick Mahomes had to do early in his career, and Lamar did too, I think, in Baltimore, in terms of making decisions how he's going to protect himself. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to have to learn that too, so that he doesn't get hurt. But I think in terms of the Commanders' approach to the offseason and to Jaden Daniels, he's got the arm, he's got the legs, he's got, I think, the ability to grasp an NFL offense, and obviously had great success at LSU last year.
Did you brought up with Caleb, maybe is he entitled? You didn't hear that with Jaden. So what, do you see things that led you to that kind of thought, and that maybe like that Jaden might be better in if he is, that way, if the way he is?
Yeah, well, I think just his approach to the combine, his approach to pro day, Jaden showed up, Caleb didn't. And I think just the whole attitude coming out of Caleb Williams, I'm going to do physicals for who I want to do them for. I'm going to work out for who I want to work out for. You didn't hear that out of Jaden Daniels. And I think that was smart. I think he's got good representation that is advising him well of how to present himself to teams and to the league and to the fan base. And so I think he walks in the door and even to the locker room. And I know the Bears players are saying, it's no big deal, Jaden or Caleb will be fine. But there's got to be a little bit of an undercurrent there. Like, hey, this guy really thinks he's hot stuff, and he hasn't even done a thing yet in the NFL, and wasn't as good last year at USC as he was the year before. And everybody saw that Notre Dame game when he threw three interceptions and they lost by four touchdowns. So, yeah, Jaden had some games, tough games in the SEC too. That's going to happen in the best conference in football. But I just like his persona. I like his approach and how he handled the whole pre-draft process.
There are a lot of people who are like, oh, well, you know, he had this is his fifth year. He steadily progressed and had a really good last year, obviously. It's funny because, like, I think for some fans who didn't want him, they were concerned by that. I think this team really liked the fact that he kept working to get better or kept improving. What was your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think guys that stay in school a little bit longer, I think they mature a little bit. and he had to learn different systems during his college years. And so I think that plays to his benefit ultimately. And now he's going to learn Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Washington. And I think that he'll have a chance to, as I said, be a really good player. And then you look at what kind of weapons he has. He's got some really good receivers potentially that are coming in there. And so I think it's a good situation for Jaden Daniels. Obviously, when you're talking about a team that was a last place team and picking second in the draft, they've got a lot of work to do. And I was a little surprised at taking Newton in the second round, but he's clearly a talented guy and one of the top interior defensive linemen. But it was a position of strength for the Commanders with Jonathan Allen and Darren Payne. And so you talk about how is he going to progress, but yet Dan Quinn's a smart guy and a really good defensive coach. And I think he'll find a way to get all three of those guys on the field together since there's no Montez Sweat anymore and no Chase Young anymore. So they'll find a way to maybe they put one of the either Payne or Allen outside in pass rush situations, and or maybe Newton comes off the field initially in pass rush situations. So it's not bad to have a really strong rotation, especially a defensive tackle, where those guys take a lot of punishment.
Right, absolutely. And what you gave them for the draft an A. So that goes beyond just one player in Jaden Daniels. So what else did you like about their draft?
Yeah, I definitely liked their trade with Philadelphia, where they got, I think, two really good players potentially, and Mike Sanders still. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pronouncing that correct.
Yes.
and also the tight end, Sanada. I think that these are two players who fill, I think, a need for the Commanders. Sanders still, quickness, run defense, and I think he's a guy that had six interceptions for a national champion team last year. And Sanada, he fills a need and gives Jaden Daniels a really solid kind of check down tight end who can also get down the field. And he's a guy that was very productive in college. And so I think he's a great addition at a position that they needed help. And then you talk about some of the other players that they drafted, and McGee has a high motor, could be a really good special teamer, eventual starter at linebacker. Hampton's a big athletic safety, and Dan Quinn will figure out a role for him. So, yeah, I gave the Commanders an A, and I think it's deserved when you look at the work that Adam Peters did and just the background that he came in as a longtime scouting person and college scouting director, assistant GM at New England, Denver, San Francisco. So he has a lot of experience coming into this role, but it's still a new job, obviously, and to be in that seat. And you got to say, his first shot, really good.
Well, and that was going to ask you too, because when you know how tough that position is. So to come in and like in a few months to do all this, what would that be like? Because it's hard to understand, like, I don't think the guy saw his family very much at all during this whole process, but he's got to come in and hire a new coach. He's got to come in and find the next quarterback for a franchise that desperately needs one. Like, how hard is that for a general manager?
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve for him too, even though he observed in his earlier stops, we know that, and especially in the assistant GM role in San Francisco. But yeah, it's hard, but I think it's so busy for him that he doesn't really have time to think about how hard it is. That right. He's got to dive and immediately handle free agency, re-signings of his own players, and draft preparation, and just taking over a team that was at the bottom, more or less. And so you look from that standpoint, too, that there is a little bit of less pressure, that he's got time to build this thing up. It doesn't have to happen in 1 year, even though I think the Commanders will be much improved this year. But obviously they play in a tough division, and the Eagles, I thought, did some great things in the draft. Dallas has got some issues, obviously, with the salary cap and with Dak and everything going on there, and didn't draft a running back and end up re-signing Ezekiel Elliott. And so that's a little shaky going on there. The Giants, I thought, were smart to hang on to Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones was a very good quarterback, as we all know, 2 years ago in 2022. He got the Giants to the playoffs. He won a playoff game in Minnesota. Then he gets hurt last year, and all of a sudden people, they need to draft a quarterback, and they need to draft McCarthy or somebody else. And I thought that was a smokescreen all along. I didn't think the Giants were going to go there. First of all, Daniel Jones has about over $50 million of dead money on his contract, and they were going to hang on to him and see if he could get rebuilt. And now he's got Malik Nabers, one of the top receivers in the draft, as a weapon he never had, really, in New York. So the NFC East is not getting any easier.
No.
Commanders to navigate that division. But things can turn around in a hurry. We see it every year. We saw it with the Texans last year, came from the bottom to a final eight team. And a big part of that, of course, was C.J. Stroud, who coincidentally the number two pick in the draft.
Right.
One pick in the draft, and partially because Bryce Young did not have the supporting cast that C.J. Stroud did. But here's the number two pick in the draft this year, Jaden Daniels, with a pretty good supporting cast at receiver. And who knows? Maybe they'll be this year's Houston.
What is the key for, like, when you get a young quarterback in there, what's the key to helping him develop? And what, I don't know how much, like, how closely you can see what Washington wants to do, but, you know, what's the key to helping a young kid develop?
Yeah, I think it's just taking steps along the way, not bombarding him with everything initially, and just take it kind of one step at a time. You've got the entire offseason now. You got the offseason training program now. You've got OTAs. You got mini camp into training camp. They'll have probably a joint practice with another team. So just take every step along the way. It's a little different, I think, for Jaden Daniels as the number two pick in the draft, or Caleb Williams as number one, or even Drake May as number three, perhaps, although May be able to sit behind Jacoby Brissett. Right. But I don't see that happening in Washington. I think he's going to be the starter day one there. And I think they just have to be patient with him. It's different, I think, than what the Vikings are looking at with J.J. McCarthy, that they signed Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's not a world beater, we know that, but he could be a decent bridge quarterback until McCarthy's ready. And although I expect that to happen sooner than later, because right. I know how Vikings were on J.J. McCarthy. I'm here in Minneapolis talking to you. And so, but I think for Daniels, he's going to be the guy. And he understands that. The Commanders understand that. And I just don't see them sitting him with the talent level that he has. And so I think they have to be patient with him, but be ready to get him in there.
And in part is, you know, because they'll talk about strong defense, you know, improved run game to limit the pressure or the burden on him to have to go do everything. But those legs give him the ability to make plays when things break down too, which is why I think you can get a guy like him in maybe a little bit earlier than others.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And that he does have that that obviously escapability factor that's so important. But again, he's going to have to protect himself. He's going to have to get built up a little bit more, bulked up a little bit more, as we said. And that doesn't necessarily happen in one off season. It could take over time, but I'm sure they're going to get him on a nutrition plan. They're going to get him a few more calories. They're going to get him in the weight room. And yet you don't want to have him lose any of his quickness either. So it's a little bit of a fine line to navigate too in the training process. But I like Jaden Daniels. And I think you just got to say he has injected excitement into the Commanders franchise now as that dual threat quarterback that is going to be a guy that's not going to throw 20 plus interceptions as happened last year.
Right.
Or at least the Commanders hope he doesn't.
Right, right. Well, for you, as someone who's been around the game a long time, to see this franchise maybe going in the right direction, right? It looks like it's going that way. What is it? What would this mean for the league to get this franchise finally turned around?
Well, I think the first thing that was good for the league was getting Daniel Snyder out and bringing new ownership in. And I think that took a big burden off the league and off a very negative storyline there. And then you bring in new leadership on the football side, you bring in a new quarterback, and all of a sudden things have changed with the franchise. I know they have a stadium situation they're dealing with, but there are a lot of positives compared to so many negatives before. And as I mentioned to you when we first came on or when we talked before, I'm happy because we represent Jonathan Allen with the agent I work with. And I know Jonathan's excited about what's happening now with the Commanders organization as an all-pro, multi-Pro Bowl player there in Washington. So there are a lot of positives going on.
He was a little bit frustrated last year, to say the least. And I don't blame him. I mean, I think that's the hard part was when you see it going the wrong direction. And that's why I was going to go back to, like, could you see their plan based on the moves Adam Peters made and things they did offseason? Can you, from someone who sat in the seat, can you see their plan and how and their vision and how important is it to be able to see that?
Yeah, and I think that's important for players in the locker room, veteran players such as Jonathan, to see that, yeah, we're adding quality players in free agency. We're adding quality players in the draft. We're headed in the right direction. And obviously you want it to happen quickly as a player. But it's definitely, I think, as I said, things are heading in the right direction for the Commanders.
You know, when you bring in guys like Wagner, Zach Ertz, Austin Ekeler, and they're all on one-year deals, how much impact can they have in that? And who knows what their future is beyond that 1 year, but how much impact can they have even in that 1 year?
Yeah, I think for Zach Ertz, probably not that much at this stage of his career. And I think that's why Sanat is a really great addition for them. I think for Austin Ekeler, he had a lot of production in the league. Yeah, he's getting older, but if he can stay healthy, he's a really, again, a great dual threat player and will give Daniels a great outlet out of the backfield as a receiver, as well as his running ability. And Bobby Wagner, I think, just brings that leadership factor that is so important, that was obviously what they were looking for in adding him. And the guy is ageless. He still basically leads the league in tackles every year. And it's just, I mean, it's amazing how the guy just year after year after year does not go down in production. And so from that standpoint, it's a little surprising Seattle even let him go, but they had a new regime going in there too.
Right.
And so the things changed and he recognized that and saw this opportunity in Washington. And I think it's a good fit for the Commanders, definitely in 2024.
And you know, there's a lot of talk about changing the culture of a locker room and all that. And that was, you know, the buzzword under Ron Rivera as well. How easy or hard is that to do?
I think when you have as many new players and a new coach, a new coaching staff, everything is new. And yeah, it's going to take time for the trust factor to build, for for there to be a feeling of progression, but I think everybody has to feel that. And I think they can build that quote unquote team chemistry very quickly in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, as even the veteran players see that the talent level has improved on this football team, and starting at the quarterback position, which is the most important position of all.
And when you look at the NFC East, and you brought it up earlier, where do you think Washington stacks up in terms of like just going at this point in the year? Because like we're talking what, May 2nd, we're talking. But where do they stack up now, and how might they stack up in couple years from now, do you think?
Yeah, I think that, as I said, Philadelphia is a team that really, I thought, had maybe the best draft in the league or one of the best drafts. And they had that collapse at the end of last season. But their big problem was their pass defense. And then they had these corners in the first couple of rounds and just still have a lot of young players coming on, the Jalen Carters of the world and so forth. And Jalen Hurts didn't have as good a year, and I think he'll be better this coming season. And then they lock up their great receivers, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, for many years to come. And so, yeah, I think the Eagles and the Saquon Barkley factor there, if he can stay healthy, that's certainly a big threat that they have, which again, I think one of the really beneficial things in free agency is when you can sign a premier free agent from one of the teams in your division, you weaken that team, strengthen your team. It's a double whammy, more or less. And I think that's what the Eagles accomplished with Barkley, if he can stay healthy. And that's always the question with him. So where the Commanders stack up, it's hard to say at this point. I think you got to say certainly the Eagles and Cowboys are 1-2, and then the Giants, if Daniel Jones comes back healthy and with some of the additions such as Neighbors, the Giants go in as the third team right now, and they were a playoff team 2 years ago. They could rebound. We'll see. So I think the Commanders are still a notch under them starting out. But again, if Jaden Daniels is this year's CJ Stroud, it can change really quickly.
Right. Absolutely. Just a couple more thoughts on Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I just think Dan Quinn is a guy who's been around. He's been a Super Bowl coach in Atlanta. He's been a successful defensive coordinator. I think is a guy who the players respect and like, that he has a personality. He's not going to belittle people publicly, and he's going to, I think, work with the players. He's a teacher. And even going back to his days in Seattle. So I think Dan Quinn is a really good hire for the Commanders at this point, to bring an experienced head coach coming off certainly a successful run in Dallas as a coordinator. And he knows the division so well from being in Dallas. And that definitely helps his cause too. So I think Dan Quinn is a good hire, and obviously needs to have a better run than he did at the end of his Falcon reign. But I like the hire of Dan Quinn.
And then when it comes to Jaden Daniels, last question then, when it comes to Jaden, you know, these guys were really looking at like Jaden or JJ. How did you rank the guys? Like, what was the gap for you between Jaden and some of the other quarterbacks behind him? What kind of gap was there for you?
I don't think there was that big a gap. And obviously Drake May was in the equation too. And so, yeah, I think McCarthy, I think all those guys, when you talk about those first four guys, I felt that there was a drop off after McCarthy, after Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, down to Penix and Bo Nix. And which is why I think I was, I'm not going to say shocked, because nothing shocks me in the NFL. Right. Certainly very surprised, as everybody was,
right,
when the Falcons made that pick of Michael Penix Jr. at 8. And I'm quite sure that the Vikings sitting there at 10 were very anxious. They were at 11 at that point, very anxious, especially when the rumbling started that Atlanta was going quarterback. And I'm sure the Vikings thought, oh, here goes McCarthy, who we want. And then they took Penix, who I think is a really good player, but he's been hurt every year. And it was just, I thought, a bizarre pick. I thought it was a ridiculous pick that Atlanta made for Penix. When you talk about, they just give Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed on a $180 million four-year contract. That tells me that Cousins is going to be the starter for 2 years at least. Right. And so then you're going to sit Penix. And they, I know they made the analogy to Jordan Love. Well, it's still – Jordan Love, I think, was picked in the 20s in the draft, yeah, compared to Michael Penix, a top 10 guy, number eight. And Atlanta needed pass rush help, and they could have got Dallas Turner. They could have got Jared Verse. And so, again, the Vikings thrilled that they were able to, first of all, keep those two first-round picks. And then they can trade up and take Turner, Dallas Turner, one of the top edge rushers in the draft. Certainly, it's a home run for the Vikings if, and it's always a big if McCarthy pans out, if, yeah, Dallas Turner pans out, those could be franchise-altering picks for the Vikings in a division that I think might be the best division in the NFL next year, the NFC North. Yeah. And you look at the talent in that division, how Detroit came on, Green Bay came on, Chicago, how they're building up. Yeah. And the Vikings were a playoff team 2 years ago and would have been a playoff team last year if Cousins hadn't gotten hurt. And so the NFC North and the AFC North, to me, the two best divisions in the league. And I think both those divisions did well in the draft, too, to keep things on the right path for them. But yeah, I think certainly the Michael Penix Jr. thing, just bizarre. I think a huge mistake by Atlanta. And now every time Cousins throws an interception, he's going to be looking over his shoulder. And Kirk certainly was caught by surprise,
yes, he was,
with that pick too. And I'm sure not happy about it.
Yeah, no. There was some definite surprise on that end for sure. So, Jeff, appreciate your time. And people, you can read them in the 33rd team and tell them where else they can find you.
Yeah, find me on talknorth.com. I do a weekly podcast with Jim Suhan, the lead sports columnist on the Star Tribune. I write for Vikings Territory, my 33rd team work, and do a lot of college speaking and staying busy and having a lot of fun. But it's certainly been a busy last few weeks with the draft and everything that's happened there, and very exciting time, I think, for a lot of franchises, including the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit different. I think for fans, there's legitimate optimism and hope for the first time in a long time, in large part because, to me, everything starts at the top. And before, you may have good parts below there, but you didn't have the top. To me, that's how you sustain winning, when you have good ownership. So it starts there, as you know.
Yes, absolutely. That's the foundation.
Yep. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Hey, thank you, John. Take care. All the best.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Jeff for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, with another episode talking to Kansas State tight ends coach Brian Lepak about second-round pick Ben Sinnott. Some really good insight from Brian. Thanks for joining me. Talk to you next time.